Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Speaking to his disciples about his coming death and resurrection, Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble or tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." If we would just let go of things and really, really trust the Lord with them, it would change our emotional state. It might even change our health.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
As believers, we're promised the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, no matter what conflict or trials arise. The Lord commands us to live by faith and to trust in the Lord. When you worry, you're telling God that you don't trust Him. And trust your life to the Lord, and He will give you His peace. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. As we join Pastor Troy for part one of our message entitled, Peace in Chaos.
Francis Asbury was a Methodist circuit rider back in the American colonies during the Revolutionary War, when America was declaring independence and gaining their independence from Britain. And at that time, he was from Britain. He was an Englishman from Britain. He came to America to evangelize, to share the gospel with these new colonies, and to bring, at that time, Methodism. He was a Methodist preacher, to America. And so they rode on what they called circuits. There were circuit riders. They would have a horse, and they would travel town to town to town. They didn't have a church what they met in. They would meet in homes, and they would just bring the pastor. He would just come through town and deliver messages. So he was one of several that came. He felt this call and this burden from God to come to the American colonies where they needed the Lord. And as he did, war began to break out against his motherland where he was sent from. America and Britain at war, the colonies and the British troops. And so he was in a dilemma. He didn't know what to do. He supported Britain. The church, the Methodist church, was submitted to, it was considered part of the British state almost. We submit ourselves to the British leadership. And so he was taking himself before the Lord. How can this be that there's this division? Whose side should I be on? Well, ultimately, he discovered that God is bigger than a nation. He saw the rights and the wrongs that were going on and decided that he needed to side with the American colonies. In fact, he felt called by God to stay forever in America. He never saw his family, he never saw his parents again. But he felt called. All the other British preachers had left. In fact, there were two left. He and another circuit rider, a good friend of his, and they prayed. They felt joined at the hips, you know, as a team. And they prayed and they prayed. And finally, the one said he needed to go back. He felt God was calling him to go back to Britain. He had family and other things to care for. And so Francis thought he wasn't hearing from the Lord right. But he prayed, and his friend said, "You know, we're not joined at the hip. We're both following the Lord. And so you need to follow the Lord. And if you say he's saying stay in America, then you need to stay in America." And so Francis Asbury did. He sent a letter to his mom telling her, "Hey, we'll see each other in heaven." You know, he continued to send half of anything that he had made to her to help support his family, but he felt that call and it separated him from his family. He stayed and he had peace because he knew that it was God's will. He was in and he was doing God's will, and it was the safest and best place for him to be. You know, throughout the scriptures, Jesus tells his disciples, "Don't be afraid. Don't worry." And the foundation for all that is trust God. and you won't have to. Follow him with all of your heart. And yet, what happens for us? We worry, we panic, we fear, we make rushed decisions because we're on the spot. I got to do something. We make mistakes in the name of self-preservation. I'm trying to defend and take care of myself. And so we make a decision and we make a mistake. We do the wrong things. Speaking to his disciples about his coming death and resurrection, Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble or tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." If we would just let go of things and really, really trust the Lord with them, it would change our emotional state. It might even change our health. It's no secret that we go through more pain meds, more stress management than any other nation on planet Earth. We're a worried people. Because I've always got my schedule there. Oh, I've got this. Oh, you may have 2 weeks of vacation, but you're thinking, oh, in 2 weeks, man, I got this and I got this. And you're stressed the whole vacation, wondering, how am I going to get it all done? You're worried about the future, worried about what's next, whether it comes or not. I want to be ready. I want to be ready for all 6 million options just in case they happen. And we're a stressed and worried people, even though Jesus said, don't worry. He even said, don't say tomorrow we're going to do this and that. You don't even know what a day is going to bring. Today's got enough trouble. Worry about it. It's enough. Trust me. Follow me. In fact, to clarify, he didn't say worry about today. He says, got enough trouble of its own. Deal with it. I've given you enough today. Well, if we would let go of things, we might see a lot of things change in our life. If we would really let go of them. Entrusting your life into the Lordship of Jesus is what brings you peace. For those of you who are struggling with chaos in your mind, chaos in the world around you, and it's stressing you out, the reason you're going to experience that and the reason you're going to be worried and stressed out is because you're not trusting completely in the authority of Jesus Christ over your circumstance and over your life. You haven't given yourself completely to His care. Whatever will be, will be. And I'm your servant. If you could be in that place and that was enough, you wouldn't have to worry about anything ever again. But I might die. If it's His will, are you okay with that? But I may not be rich. Are you okay with that? If His design for you isn't that you're rich, are you okay with that? See, if you're okay with that, you stop worrying about it. What is it that's got you in turmoil? What is it that has your emotions so attached to it that you won't let it go? Why is there chaos in your life? Well, entrusting your life into the Lordship of Jesus Christ, laying everything down, will bring you the peace that you desperately need and you really want. Let it be. Today we see that Jesus has authority necessary to grant us peace in every area of our life. Peace in the storms. He can give us peace despite the fact that storms are raging. He can also give us peace in our inner soul. Where very often things may look great on the outside, but there's a storm brewing on the inside because we're so worried, we're so stressed, we're so strung up. Inner peace that people will notice. So in verse 23, we read, "Now when he," that's Jesus, "got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we're perishing.' But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?' Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea. There was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, 'Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" It's a case of we don't know him as well as we should. Following Jesus doesn't mean that you will no longer have storms in your life. These are the disciples. They're in this storm because they followed him. If they didn't follow him, they wouldn't have been in this boat. They would have been in their comfort zone, nice and comfortable, maybe in their homes. Did their fishing for the day, did the job, completed the routine, feeling nice and secure. But they're in this boat with Jesus. and it's the safest place for them. It's the greatest place for them, is in this little boat. Storms are going to come even though you follow Jesus. We're in a fallen world. You know, the sun shines, and the scripture says, the sun shines on those who believe and those who don't believe. The rain falls upon the soil and fertilizes the soil of the farmer who believes and the farmer who doesn't believe. A Christian, someone who follows Christ, is not exempt from the catastrophes of this world. From hurricanes. You know, people say when the hurricanes came into New Orleans or strike up in Kansas, they go, God's judging, especially New Orleans, so easy to cast the stones there. God's judging them. Well, I know Christians there whose churches were destroyed. So he wasn't judging them, unless I could be like Job's friends. You got sin in your life. There's some wickedness in there that you're hiding. That's why God destroyed your church. Not so. Hey, what about when our copper got stolen? Maybe I could say, or someone could say to me, well, you know, Achan kept some things back, and maybe you've got some sin in here. You're holding some things. Your copper got stolen. No, things happen. There's sinners in this world. Nature has fallen from that perfect state, and now we have storms that aren't just God going, I'm going to throw some water over at New Orleans. It's chaotic. We live in chaos. But it doesn't mean God isn't sovereign. It's not the way it was supposed to be. But the reason that bad things happen is because the world has been compromised. It's no longer under the perfect authority, submitting itself, you and I, submitting ourselves unto the Lord. And so, yes, someone in your family may get hit by a drunk driver. They may be Christians following the Lord with a great future, and they could still get killed by somebody else who is in sin. We see it all the time in schools right now. It's like a regular thing. It's almost not even going to be newsworthy anymore that someone goes into a public school and shoots people. It really isn't surprising anymore. Oh, it happened again? Where this time? Boy, Colorado, I don't know what's going on up there. It's going on everywhere now. Theaters, schools, everywhere. It's chaotic. But it's not because the people in the theater were in sin and so God judged them with that person. It's because sinful people go and they commit sinful acts and it affects other people. And that's just the world we live in. Jesus is calm in this situation. He's in the boat. He's calm. The disciples are afraid in this situation. Contrast the two. Jesus is calm. Where does it come from? It comes from his entrusting himself completely to the will of the Father. From Jesus' perspective, he's already resolved to endure the worst case scenario. He's going to the cross. I'm going to die. If the Father wanted to take me beforehand by drowning, whatever he wants to do, I'm fine. I'm going to get some rest. I'm tired. The disciples didn't see it that way. The disciples were in the boat. Jesus getting some rest. The disciples were panicking. Oh my goodness, look what's going on. Jesus is over there sleeping. Jesus is asleep. So they go over and they wake him up. Do you not care? We're panicking here. We're going to go down. We're not going to make it. And Jesus tells them, oh, you have little faith. Where's your faith? We need to be okay with God's will. Whatever that is. Whatever it is, we need to be okay with it. Jesus taught the disciples to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Part of the model for prayer. How to teach us to pray? Told him, our Father who art in heaven, address him this way, but he also included, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Let your will be done. Esther, the book of Esther. Esther was taken in by the king. He fell in love with her. And this is a longer story that I'm not going to go into right now, but ultimately he marries her. She was a Jew. She hid her Jewry because her people were being attacked. And so she was afraid. But as the people were incited against the Jews, the local people were incited against the Jews. The Persians began to persecute and get a decree signed to be able to kill them, like a just sign a decree, king, that allows us to kill these Jews. They're overrunning the place. And so just one day of killing Jews with no penalty, and that'd be a good day. He signed it. He was married to a Jew, didn't realize it. And so Mordecai approaches his niece and says, look, they're persecuting the people out here. The king's issued a decree. You need to go talk to him. Now, for being a queen, she didn't have any rights to approach the king. She could be killed. And this guy already had got rid of one wife for insubordinates. And so she's worried about the situation. She could be killed. Mordecai says, look, God lifted you up. And who knows that he didn't lift you up for such a time as this to save his people. And so she said, fast and pray for me, and I'm going to go in there. And if he kills me, he kills me. Or in her words, if I perish, I perish. That's the kind of resolve we need to have. I'm going to do what I believe God wants me to do. And if everything falls apart, it falls apart. But I am going to be in the boat with Jesus. I'm going to follow him. The winds and the waves may rage around me, but the boat that I am in will get to the other side. Now, I can't make the decisions for everybody else, but I will make it to the other side. And if it goes down, it goes down. But I'm going to go down with Jesus. Whatever God's will is, we need to be okay with it. The times that I am most stressed about a game is when I really, really root for a team or against a team, whichever the case may be. Then I'm like, it's fourth down, man, there's only a minute left. We got to do this. I don't do that anymore. I'm far removed from those days, but I remember the days. I remember the passion and the feeling. And it was when I had an investment, when I wanted a certain outcome, that I was most stressed about it. But when two teams, I just liked, it's going to be a good game. You watch it, no big deal. Who's ahead? I don't care. I just want to see a good game. I remember that feeling too. There was no stress because I didn't really care which way it ended up. You see, for us to have peace, we got to stop having a desired outcome. Our own desired outcome. And we need to let God's outcome be good enough. God, I mean, obviously, we always have an outcome that we want. You know, we want people to live and not die. We want our children to not experience anything wrong ever at all. Not to be contaminated by anything. But we're in a dirty world. So yes, we do have it, but not to be so invested that it stresses you and kills you and you can't trust in God. Leave everything in His hands and stop stressing. Much of our peace comes from being okay with the will of God. We get rattled when circumstances change in our lives because we like order. I understand this way and this is different. Difficulties arise. Things change and we get tense because we don't know what to expect. And I have a desired outcome. Look, things have changed. It's out of control. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to end up. I want this to happen, God, and this doesn't look like it's going to happen. So what's going to happen? Jesus, don't you care? And we're crying out to Him. We're expecting change. We're expecting provision. We're expecting something. And it's like Jesus is asleep. But Jesus isn't asleep. Not in our boat. He's risen. He doesn't need to sleep now. He's always awake. In your time zone, in China's time zone, there is no time zone in which he can sleep now. So he's always alert. The difference is we panic and he doesn't because he knows the will of God. And for them, death isn't all that bad. For them, it's like, oh, he's about to come and be with us. Come on up. And we're like, oh Lord, don't let him die. Hold on, keep him down here. Keep him down here in this filthy, contaminated world. Even though he's going to have to live on life support, Lord, just keep him down here.
Man, they're praying against my will. They're praying against my... I want him up here. See, they see life afterwards. We see death, finality. They have a different perspective. We think he's going to get on the bullhorn and start talking to us in a panicked state because everything is falling apart and he didn't realize it. But that's not Jesus. Instead, we experience the storm and Jesus is like, hey, chill out. It's fine. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. There's a road when we're going home that as you go up it, you see the McDonald's sign. And it looks like you're going to run right into the McDonald's. But what you don't realize is as you come up over the horizon, it veers to the left. You're not going to hit the McDonald's. Now, you don't see the rest of the road because of the way the horizon is. But a few times of traveling it, I realized we're not going to hit the McDonald's. The kids have realized we're not going to hit the McDonald's. When you walk by faith and begin to trust the Lord, you begin to realize there are some things God's doing I'm not aware of, and I'm going to trust Him. I don't see it all. I don't understand it all. But I have lived long enough that I know we're going to be okay and that God's got it under control. We need to trust in the Lord because that's where our peace is found. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus had already told them, Luke's account of this story, that the plan was to go to the other side. He said, let's go to the other side. They needed to trust him that they would get there. Now, we compare Jesus' calm with the disciples' fear. Let's compare the disciples' faith with the centurion's faith. Do you remember the centurion? He showed up, needed healing for his servant. Jesus was, all right, let's go. And he said, no, I don't even need that you come under my roof. I'm a man under authority. I understand authority. All you got to do is say the word and I know he'll be healed. Jesus said to his disciples, I have not seen such great faith even in all Israel. And he sure hadn't in his boat. He says to the centurion, look at this. I have not seen such great faith in Israel. This is a centurion, a Gentile, not a Jew, not God's people. And now he's in the boat and the disciples are freaking out and panicking. He says, where is your faith? The difference in the centurion's faith and the disciples' lack of faith was their understanding of who Jesus is and the authority he has over the circumstances. Jesus had already taught with authority as he came down or as he finished his teachings on the mount. The people said, man, he teaches with authority. Not like the scribes and the Pharisees. I mean, there's authority in his teaching. Jesus had shown his authority over sickness. He came down right away, heals a leper. Then there was the centurion's servant, and he says, I have not seen such great faith. And now he shows his authority over nature. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He's revealing who he is and how much authority he has, and he has authority over everything. Now he shows his authority over the spiritual. Sometimes we worry about that, right? But there's Satan. What about Satan? Well, let me tell you. Verse 28. When he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men, coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we do to you? What have we to do with you, Jesus, the Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Now, a good way off from them, there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, if you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said to them, go. One word. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper, and deeper, I want to know you more.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store under Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.